And now, back to the Debbie Nigro Show.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are happy days. These days are
I don't know what makes me happier, this song or my next guest coming up on the show. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. Welcome to a show I call, the Debbie Nigro Show. And then the Elite to the Street, fun ride through the news of the day. And the news today is that not every day is happy for those who you might assume it might have been. And Marion Ross has just written, after many years of probably wondering if she should, her story called My Days, Happy and Otherwise. And so I'm sure there's a lot you're going to be able to relate to if you're a regular person having gone through some life's speed bumps that Marion's going to share today. But let's give her some big love because God knows she gave us a lot of joy. Hello there, Marion Ross.
Well, Debbie, aren't you charming? You're wonderful. And I love hearing that music.
Me too.
That wakes me up in the morning here. Yeah.
Mrs. Cunningham, you're still fabulous.
Well, thank you, darling. I'm holding up pretty good. How long I can do this, I don't know.
I don't think any of us know how long we can keep doing this. But
You know how old I am.
Well, I heard 89, but you know.
I am 89.
Well, 89's the new 40. 89's the new 40. So. I saw a picture of you recently, the Go Red for women. You were dressed in gorgeous red.
Oh, yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, you're smoking hot. You're still smoking hot.
Thank you.
I was really touched by your story. I mean, there's all the good stuff and the crazy, amazing stuff. You know, you acted with Ginger Rogers and Cary Grant and Clark Gable. I loved all that stuff. And, of course, you know, the whole Happy Days era and all your other acting. But, you know, you revealed some stuff that really touched me. Having been a single mom many years myself, I know that's not a simple, title. And unfortunately, you chose a man originally that had an alcohol problem, which that couldn't have been simple either. So you want to talk a little bit about
right, because all that? I come from a Scotch Presbyterian father, so I didn't know anything about alcoholics at all. Although my Canadian mother, Irish Canadian mother, certainly there was drinking up in Saskatchewan, you know. But so that was new to me. Also, I am so optimistic. I am a really Pollyanna, you know, happy person.
Me too.
So I don't like negative. So I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah,
no?
I got it.
I want everything to be perfect. Yeah.
I hate to say it, but you're delusional like me.
I think so.
And I like it that way.
I'm middle. Are you a middle child?
I'm just. I see life in the same spectrum as you do. I always hope for the best. I'm a dealer in hope. I don't hang around negative people. And you know, I think it works. I mean, that you're 89 and fabulous still. I think the attitude has
isn't
life.
It? Yeah.
Right.
No, I always would wake up and think, I gotta make something happen around here.
I love that.
Yeah.
I did read that at a very young age, your name Marion was spelled Marian, and you changed it to Marion because you thought it looked better in lights. You sort of knew as a young
with
person.
With the Ross.
Yeah, with the Ross.
I said that. I'm 12, and I get a little prayer book, you know, and I think, wait a minute, that's not going to look good up in a marquee, is it? No.
Did you know in your heart that you were going to be a sort of a household name or famous in some way? Did you have an instinct?
I very much wanted to become somebody and be different from everybody else and to be special. Because, first of all, I've been being a middle child, having a little brother who was a crippled boy, so I didn't get a lot of attention in the mix there, unless I was so cute that you could, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I would be irresistible. Yes.
Well, you obviously you attained irresistible throughout your career. So you shocked your parents. You elope at 21. Where'd you go?
Went to Yuma, Arizona, which is a couple hours out of San Diego. Going to Arizona. Oh, my mother the next day.
Yeah.
My mother swore at me. My mother, who never swore. So there were all the plans. And, of course, everybody assumed that I was pregnant, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a baby for like 10 years. Oh, it was a big blow to my mother. My father cried.
I'm sure. Because, you know, you are the daughter with the big plan in the wedding, and there you are eloping with Effie.
Yeah.
What was the wedding like? What was that eloped wedding like?
Oh, it was, I was wearing a little skirt and sweater, you know, and in the middle of the night we drove to Las Vegas because I think I got in the car and I said, I don't love you. And he said, you do love me. And we're going right now. We're going to drive and we're going to get married right now. So that's what happened.
Wow, it's a good story.
Did you have him and me.
Did you have an Elvis impersonator marry you?
Obviously, there was someone there in Yuma. It was called the Gretna Green Wedding Chapel. And right next to it, there was a big sign that says, "Visit ye old prison."
That's really,
and we both laughed. Visit ye old prison.
Oh my gosh! Okay. I'm thinking that what happened here is okay. You get married, all of a sudden you start to like take off with success, and he starts to feel what, inept in comparison. Is that what made him start get moody and drink?
I would assume that he already was drinking. You know, college kids drink. Also, he had come out of the Navy. He'd gone. He was in World War II, and I'm sure all the Navy boys drank. Everybody always did in the service. So probably already he was an alcoholic. What do I know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that. So.
I know.
You've actually read the book. It's
well, yeah,
wonderful.
I like to really understand people when I invite them on the show. You have two kids, Jim and Ellen, and obviously you revealed that, you know, your husband began to have an affair with his secretary because somebody else needs to validate that he's
dead.
Yes,
you got it all.
Yeah.
Right.
So where are the kids now? And I know you fell in love again, did the love of your life, which is a great ending love affair, and I know he passed away. But where are your kids?
Well, my daughter, Ellen, was a writer-producer on Friends, of all things.
Love that show.
Friends. Now she is creating, has just finished shooting the pilot of a brand new ABC sitcom. I don't know what it, I think John Larroquette is in it, and a bunch of girls from New York and whoever they are, I don't know. She doesn't tell me anything about the thing, but there she is. They sold it. Well, they sold the rights to make the pilot. So now they made the pilot. Now they got to sell it again, I think.
That sounds so cool. Friends is one of my favorite comedy shows. Does comedy run in your genes? Is comedy in your family?
Yes, I think so, on the Irish side. Now, but my Scottish father, we used to say to him, it's a joke, Daddy. Daddy, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
It was straight. And my son, Jim. Let me tell you about my son, Jim.
Sure.
His last name is Meskimen, which was my husband's name, and he is an actor and a very good artist. Anyway, he is in a commercial right now that you must have seen. He plays George Washington being hauled over the freeway in his boat.
Oh, my gosh. That's your son?
Yes. And it's Geico? What is it?
Yeah.
Yes, it's Geico. Okay.
That's riot.
I love him saying, we've all got someplace to be.
Thank you. He's an awfully clever fellow and wonderful guy. So there we are. Not a bad job.
Not a bad job.
And it was hard. I was single from 40 to 60. I was 60 when I met Paul.
Oh, really? Oh, because he had 20
because
years.
Because I had to run a tight ship and get the job done.
Me too. Same thing. I only had one daughter, Alexis. She's beautiful. You'd like her. I'll introduce you someday.
Fine.
Now you get to 60. No, you get to 60 and you fall in love. Is that true?
Right.
You guys, this is a big piece of
60.
News.
I'm 60. Yeah, because I can remember going to the, you go to have your teeth checked up, you know, every 4 months or something. And I literally remember saying, now that I'm turning 60, I cannot be alone anymore. Next time I come, 4 months later, I say, I met the greatest guy. Isn't that something? So we obviously run our own lives. Right. I allow myself to meet somebody.
You know, I love this because you're giving so many people hope that it's never too late to fall in love. And I'm a big fan of never too late, no expiration date on sex. So, y'all, I'm like a crack addict for positivity. Where did you meet Paul?
We were having a strike. SAG, Screen Actors Guild, were having a strike. So I'm such a workaholic. So here's a play. Here's a play. I thought, well, I'll do this play because they were going to pay me money. So I started to do this play. Lo and behold, here's this guy. He's in the play. He opened up his arms. I walked right in. He gave me a big hug. And it took a while. It took a while for me. But I just thought he was the greatest.
Oh.
He was purebred Lebanese, Christian Lebanese, very smart. Went to Brown. Very different from, first of all, so a Mediterranean fellow, but he had like steel blue eyes and his olive skin, strikingly handsome, you know?
Yeah, I saw him. He was hot.
Yeah.
Smoking hot, too.
Can you believe that? I said to myself, I'll have one of those.
Oh, my gosh. Did he pass?
He did. Paul died 7 years ago.
Oh.
And I have been so grateful for the 23 years that we had together that I don't grieve. I'm not brought down to ruin by, you know, and I don't brood about it because we had a fantastic time together.
Oh, wow. Was he older, younger, same age? What was the deal?
He was only 2 years older than me, but I always felt that he was much older. You know,
yeah.
I really did think he was much older than me.
Sometimes it's like that. Funny. The fact that you found love at 60 years old and then had a 23-year love affair is just the most beautiful thing. So you're still hot.
Isn't that good news?
It was great news. So now, obviously, everybody knows you as, you know, Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days. Mostly, I mean, you've done some amazing things, and I've seen every, you know, you had all these Emmy Award nominations, and I know before
you know,
that.
Debbie, this is a very good interview you're giving me. I like that.
This is a very nice compliment you're giving me, Marianne Ross, because I enjoy doing what I do, bringing out the best and beautiful, wonderful spirits like you. Are you allowed to talk about the problem you had with the licensing and not getting paid for merchandising, the Happy Days lawsuit? Can you talk about that at all, or is that not on the table here?
No, that's fine with me because I was not so much involved in that. I didn't care. But the boys, there were lots of toys. There were lots of products.
Yep.
And the boys, the four boys, I think Ron got paid right off the bat. So
Ron Howard. Right.
They got paid right away, big fees. Well, the other boys didn't, so they decided to have a lawsuit. I said, fine, I'll back you up on that. And so finally we won it because I went up to Las Vegas to visit some family, and here was a big slot machine, the Happy Days slot machine. The whole cast of Happy Days is on this disc, and if you hit the Fonzie or something, you win the jackpot. And I thought, uh-oh. And I don't want to be seen looking at that.
Oh, wow.
Because, and it's things like that. We said, wait a minute, where's our cut on this?
I think I heard that. And this is the Happy Days lawsuit, if you're just tuning in and don't know about this. Back in 2011, Marianne Ross, who we're having the pleasure of talking to right now, Mrs. Cunningham, and four of the Happy Days co-stars, Erin Moran and Don Most and Anson Williams, and the estate of Tom Bosley, filed a $10 million breach of contract lawsuit against CBS, which owns the show, claiming they had not been paid for merchandising revenue owed under their contracts. And all the cast members claimed they had not received revenue from some of the show-related items, comic books and T-shirts and scrapbooks and trading cards and games and lunchboxes. And it goes on, dolls, toys, magnets, greeting cards. And then there was the day somebody who knew Marianne rolled five Marianne Rosses in Vegas, and that's when she got aggravated. Marianne,
right.
can you stay
right
on just a little bit?
Sure.
I'd love to continue with you just a little bit more if you have the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, this is fun. You're making my day happy. If you're just tuning in, this is Mrs. Cunningham, Marianne Ross from Happy Days, who brought us all those smiles and laughs, and she's finally written her story, and her story is so inspirational. And what a lovely guest today. Come on back. You're listening to the Debbie Nigro Show. Like I say, it's always the elite to the street. You just never know who's showing up here. Right after this, back with Marianne.